And welcome into Year of the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you had a great 4th.
Yeah, we did. Went to Colorado and cooled off in the mountains.
Did you go back to Potoro?
No, went to Creed. My wife's mom's side of the family's from Creed, from, you know, came in a covered wagon, I think, in the 1800s.
Wow.
To Creed. So a lot of family history there on my wife's side. And great little town. I mean, little mining town, kind of touristy town now, but it was about 40 degrees every morning.
Nice.
We're a little in an RV up there, RV park. It's a little shout out to them, Mountain View. RV park in Creed. It was awesome. Just right on the river, right on that Rio Grande.
Did you do any fishing up there?
No, I just sat.
What about your movement piece, Dr. Edwards?
Well, I got up every hour.
You moved around a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to stress your body with too much sitting. Oh, it was good, though. It was good to unwind. I've been super busy. That's why we've had to do so many replays lately. I've got a lot going on at the office, a couple new nurse practitioners. I'm getting trained and just hired a new COO, or my first ever COO, so that's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All these administrative duties getting off my plate. So I'm excited. Got the corporate wellness program rocking and rolling. We'll just start with that announcement. If you're a company owner, CEO, HR person, we're going to talk today about what you're paying for as far as this quote-unquote health care, these health insurance plans that you're paying for, and we have a alternative to that. We'll get into that more here in a minute, but that corporate wellness program's rocked and rolling. We'd love to sign up some more companies. If you're interested, you can reach out, info@veritasmedical.com. There are plenty of businesses, school districts, even just individuals looking at an alternative to this very expensive and very, very poor performing healthcare system that we have. We'll talk about that some in a minute, but before I do that, a few announcements for the local folks here. The Merck is in full swing with helping these local producers move produce. So we've got downtown at the Merck this week some yellow and green zucchini fresh off the vine, some yellow squash, three different varieties of cucumbers, some okra, and some peaches. So get down to the Merck if you want some of that fresh produce. Some classes coming up in the coming weeks. July 13th, Say No to Toxins. David from Philoma is going to put on a class there about toxins specifically, I think. He's been on the show before. He makes different hair, you know, shampoo and hair products. But that's at 1 o'clock on the 13th. July 14th, Fresh Meal Dinner. Actually, that one is sold out. So that's great. 5:30, Fresh Meal Dinner on the 14th. But maybe next month, y'all look for that again. That one is sold out this month. July 18th, we've got Tuesday Tea Time. That's a local gal, Sister Herbs. We'll be putting on a class at 2 o'clock. Sweet Life Bakery will also be providing some treats there. So that's July 18th at the Merck. There's always something going on down there, some kind of class. So I encourage you all to look at that. Veritas Healthy Community is available for those who don't need a doctor or don't want to necessarily wait on the waiting list for the medical side of the business. You can get into the healthy community side, which is the education and support side. Talk to a wellness navigator, and they'd be happy to start walking you down that whole health and wellness journey. Also, in that Veritas Healthy Community membership, or if you're a medical member, Ben Hunt is available in the Movement Lab. His calendar is now operational up on the website for members of both the healthy community and medical. You can get on there and get an appointment with Ben Hunt in the Movement Lab Functional Patterns. We had him on a few weeks ago, too. You can go back and listen to that. All right. Oh, last announcement. The GlycoCheck camera is still not available. We actually had it, and our particular camera was not functioning correctly. It was not focusing. And they are working to correct that and get a new camera to us. So still nothing there as far as an announcement on that GlycoCheck camera. But as soon as we have that up and running, we'll let you know. All right, so today's show is just me doing some Q&A. And then also just bringing you some latest headlines. that you won't see or hear from corporate media, pharmaceutical-funded media. It appears to be why you won't hear some of this. But we're going to start with, and this is a few months old, but Commonwealth Fund published this early 2023. Their study, U.S. Healthcare from a Global Perspective. Here's a, and basically what they did was look at the United States and their health outcomes compared to all the industrialized countries. They do this every year. We come in dead last place every year. Here's their quote from 2023. In the previous edition of U.S. Healthcare from a Global Perspective, we reported that the people in the United States experienced the worst health outcomes overall of any high-income nation. Americans are more likely to die younger and from avoidable causes than residents of peer countries. And they went on in this study to just show all the data. So you can go to commonwealthfund.org and just type that in, U.S. healthcare from a global perspective, but I'll summarize it. Our quote-unquote healthcare system consistently performs last place, such as mortality rates. We die younger than any other country by far, and it's not even close. All the other industrialized countries are kind of bunched together around 80 years old, and we're down at just under 78. Infant mortality rates, by far and away, more of our babies die than any other country. Maternal mortality rates during pregnancy, more of our pregnant moms die than any other country, by far. We have the highest percentage of children with a chronic medical condition, over 50% now. And there's more data, but it all points to we're doing something wrong. So either our protocols, our standard of care protocols, are not good protocols, or the other option would be they're great protocols and the patients just aren't doing them. But since we spend the most money, that means we go to the doctor the most, we do the most MRIs and CAT scans and surgeries, we take the most pharmaceuticals, so it appears like the patients are actually doing the standard of care protocols based off the healthcare spending, which, by the way, is double that of any other country. Yet we're getting the worst health outcomes. So I'm just going to speak right to the people. It appears to me our public health authorities and our institutions that put out recommendations, that would be the American Academy of Family Practitioners, the American Academy of Pediatricians, American College of Gynecology, Obstetrics and Gynecology, ACOG, American Heart Association, American Diabetes Association, American Cancer Society, fill in the blanks. It would seem like their protocols need to be looked at. The standard of care protocols that everyone's adhering to are producing the worst outcomes. The fact there's been a lack of repentance regarding just this last two and a half, three years, and I'm going to quote some studies on this, some recent data coming out. Just quote it right now. This is out of the UK 2 weeks ago. Let me find this. This was the British. Let me find it. 500 excess cardiac deaths per week in the UK. That's for the British Heart Foundation. They reported 96,540 excess deaths above the number of deaths that were expected to occur involving cardiovascular conditions like heart attacks and strokes since February of 2020. That's amounting to 500 excess deaths per week, and it's continuing. It's not leveling off. Wonder what's causing that. That's a lot of excess cardiac deaths. We should probably be looking into that. Dr. Dennis Rancourt, this was from about 6 weeks ago. He gave a presentation. He's up in the UK, or excuse me, in Canada. He's a well-known physicist and a researcher. He's been widely published. He's probably most famous the last 3 years for his all-cause mortality data. and that's what this presentation was on, and quoting from that, using the mortality data from various countries, Rancourt shows that there was only increased mortality where measures such as lockdowns, ventilation, or the like were taken, but treatment with antibiotics for bacterial pneumonia was prohibited. There is also excess mortality due to vaccination campaign, and the higher the vaccination rate, the higher the excess mortality. Again, that's Dr. Dennis Rancourt, a recent presentation he did up in Ontario. Speaking of the more vaccines one gets, this is a Cleveland Clinic observational study that shows the association between the number of COVID-19 vaccines and boosters and the rates of infection. And if you could see this graph, there's a direct correlation between your chances of contracting COVID and the number of doses, from zero doses, one dose, two dose, three dose, or four dose. And the more doses you have, this graph shows clearly the increased risk at each dose. So the most doses, you're the most likely to be infected. Dr. Asim Malhotra, a very well-known, highly published cardiologist out of the UK, recently on Joe Rogan, you know, it's kind of sad. Well, no disrespect to Joe Rogan, but you can get more informed consent listening to Joe Rogan than you can listening to the CDC in some cases. And I would recommend people go listen to Dr. Asim Malhotra's interview with Joe Rogan. That would be show number 1979. And then might as well listen to Robert Kennedy Jr.'s interview, show number 1999 with Joe Rogan. You're going to get a lot of informed consent there. I want to quote Dr. Malhotra from that show. Again, Dr. Malhotra, well-known cardiologist, well-published in the UK. His dad was a highly respected physician in the UK prior to his untimely death, that Dr. Malhotra Jr. Says was directly due to the COVID-19 shot. Dr. Asim Malhotra got the COVID injections at the insistence of his dad and was injured by it himself. In that show, this is a quote, Dr. Malhotra says, quote, "In my whole career, looking at all the drugs and knowing about many different prescribed medications, I've never seen something that, when you look at the data, has such poor effectiveness and unprecedented harms. In the summer of last year," so he's talking about 2022, "in the journal Vaccine, the highest impact medical journal for vaccines, they published a reanalysis of Pfizer and Moderna's original double-blinded randomized controlled trial." Now, that was the trial that won them approval from the FDA for EUA. Back to the quote. "This is the highest quality of scientific evidence. Joseph Freeman is an ER doctor and clinical data scientist from Louisiana, associate editor of the British Medical Journal, Dr. Peter Doshi, and Dr. Robert Kaplan from Stanford. These are the authors of this paper, the reanalysis of the original data. Some real eminence and integrity published this reanalysis, and what they found was this. In the trials that led to the approval of regulators worldwide, you were more likely to suffer a severe adverse event from taking the vaccine, hospitalization, disability, or life-changing event, than you were to be hospitalized with COVID." I'm going to repeat that. This is Dr. Peter Doshi, British Medical Journal Associate Editor. Dr. Joseph Freeman and Dr. Robert Kaplan from Stanford. A reanalysis of the original vaccine data that Pfizer and Moderna gave to the FDA and other regulators across the world, you were more likely to suffer an adverse reaction from the shot than you were to be hospitalized with COVID-19. And that was the whole sales pitch on pushing this shot, was that it would decrease your chances of severe disease and death. And this is a good time to point out, if a doctor ever tells you, gives you any reason to take a medical procedure or pharmaceutical. And your next question should be, okay, if it reduces X, Y, or Z disease or event, like hospitalization, death from COVID, ask what the all-cause morbidity and mortality is. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In 1979, the DPT vaccine was put out on the market, given to all our children, and it turned out to be extremely dangerous, killing or severe brain damaging 1 out of 300 kids. So it was pulled from the market in the United States and in Europe. But then they just shipped it over to Africa and Southeast Asia and started giving it to those kids. Bill Gates and his foundation continue to this day to give it to those kids, 161 million doses to African and South Asian kids every year. The Bill Gates Foundation went to the Danish government and said, hey, we need y'all to start paying us for this. Because the Danes were the ones in this particular country in Africa that had set up these clinics and were funding a lot of this, the clinics, but they weren't paying for these vaccines. The Gates Foundation was. So this was in 2017. The Danish government said, okay, Bill Gates, show us the data. If you're saving millions of lives, we'd like to pay for that, but show us the data on that. Well, Bill Gates and his buddies at the foundation could not do that. So the Danish government took it upon themselves to do a study in Africa. They had 30 years of data on this DPT vaccine. And here's what they found. The girls who took the vaccine on time, as recommended, at their, I think it was 3-month visit, had a 10 times more likely to die than the girls who did not have the vaccine. What they found was the girls that got vaccinated did have less diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. But they had more malaria, anemia, pneumonia, and other problems, and an increased all-cause mortality by 10x. They were all dying from pneumonia. Turns out their immune systems were devastated. They weren't able to fight off other infections. And here's my point. A doctor could come to you and say, take this DPT shot. It's going to reduce your chances of getting diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. Or take this cholesterol medicine. It's going to lower your cholesterol. You need to pause and think a minute and think, okay, do I care about my cholesterol numbers on a paper or not? Or do I care about heart attacks and especially death from heart attacks? Do I care if I get diphtheria, pertussis versus living? All-cause mortality, you always have to go to all-cause mortality, because your targeted therapy may be doing what it's been, you know, it tells you it's going to do. Like a cholesterol drug, the statins are going to lower your cholesterol. But your next question always has to be all-cause mortality. It's same with chemo. This chemo drug may kill cancer cells really, really good in a petri dish. But what if there's an overall death rate in the chemo group compared to the placebo group that's much higher because the chemo is so toxic? That's what we have to keep in mind, the all-cause mortality. And in this DPT study in Africa, a 10x, 10 times more likely to die if you're vaccinated than unvaccinated. So back to the COVID, that original data that they reanalyzed and showed you were more likely, 1 in 800 odds of being put into the hospital with a severe adverse reaction from the shot than you were with COVID. That was the original data. And the all-cause mortality data in that original Pfizer data they released, and I saw this on day one, and I'm positive we talked about it on the show. There were 5 more people that died in the vaccine group than the unvaccinated group. 4 of those 5 were cardiac deaths. All-cause mortality was greater in the vaccine group from day one. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling, although it's not when you understand the corruption that's out there. But this is why I'm talking directly to the folks, because you're going to have to get educated. You're going to have to learn to start how to talk to your doctors about these kind of things. And unfortunately, going to have to push back a little bit. And the cholesterol, the cholesterol data has never been there from the get-go. Why we even check cholesterol anymore is kind of a mystery to me. Let me quote a few studies here. And you can find all these on my last summer First Tuesday talk on cholesterol and heart disease. Let me start with the latest. And this was JAMA, March 14th, 2022. The name of the study, Evaluating the Association Between Low-Density Lipoprotein Cholesterol Reduction, LDL, the quote-unquote bad cholesterol, which it's not bad, guys. Why would your liver make LDL all day long if it's going to kill you? But it's what people call the bad cholesterol. So, evaluating the association between LDL cholesterol reduction and relative and absolute effects of statin therapy, a systemic review and meta-analysis. Translation, JAMA went back. Again, this is March of 22. They went back and looked at all these studies, 21 different randomized clinical trials, and they looked for the efficacy of statins in reducing total mortality and cardiovascular outcomes. What they found was an absolute risk reduction of all-cause mortality 0.8%. Less than 1%. Reduction in all-cause mortality with the statins. We talked about this with Dr. Malcolm Kendrick on the show a few weeks ago. That's the kind of question you need to ask your doctor. Okay, doc, you're so concerned about my LDL cholesterol being 150, which used to be normal, by the way, and you're just adamant that I get on this statin. Did you know it's less than a 1% reduction in my all-cause mortality? I can almost guarantee you your doctor doesn't know that, even though it's in JAMA, March 14th of 2022. I had a patient the other day, a new patient come see me, going through his medication list. He mentioned he used to be on a statin, but he quit. And his former PCP, the way he described this interaction made me think of road rage. He told his former PCP he decided not to take the statin because of the side effects he was experiencing. And he said the PCP got irate, red-faced, basically told him he was a ticking time bomb, going to die. No, I'm not going to argue with the ticking time bomb. A lot of most standard Americans are. But to be so adamant that the statins are the answer for a less than 1% all-cause mortality reduction, what a false sense of security. If that doctor were to prescribe that and convince that patient, you're okay now. You're protected now. You can go eat. I've had patients tell me this. I'm eating my statin, so I can just take my eat my donuts because I'm taking my statins. Less than 1% all-cause mortality reduction. There are other studies regarding this statin situation we'll talk about in just a minute. I think we've got a caller maybe with a question.
Yes, welcome into the show.
Yes, I've always been extremely leery of statins after looking at the numbers, especially when compared to a natural substance which does a much better job of raising high-density lipoproteins and promoting long life, reduction of dementia, all sorts of good things. And it's I'm not going to talk about it anymore, but it is recommended in the instruction book supplied by the original manufacturer. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's great lead into the next study I was going to quote, British Medical Journal Open 2016. The name of the study, lack of an association or an inverse association between LDL protein and mortality in the elderly, a systemic review. So they reviewed all the statin studies. Again, this is 2016. From that study, I quote, since elderly people with high LDL live as long or longer than those with low LDL, our analysis provides a reason to question the validity of the cholesterol hypothesis. That's putting it very politely.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Journal of American College of Cardiology, August of 2020. The name of the study, Saturated Fats and Health, a Reassessment and Proposal for Food-Based Recommendations. Conclusion, several foods relatively rich in saturated fatty acids, such as whole-fat dairy, dark chocolate, unprocessed meat, are not associated with an increased cardiovascular disease risk. Quote, there is no robust evidence that current population-wide arbitrary upper limits on saturated fat consumption in the United States will prevent cardiovascular disease or reduce mortality. I still have patients to this day worried about eating lean meat only and turkey and chicken instead of beef. I had to tell a patient just yesterday, or last week, Friday, no, flip that. The fat content of grass-fed beef is much better than chicken. I'd rather you be on the beef, actually. And I pulled this study and others. So here's another study, Open Heart 2015. Evidence from randomized controlled trials does not support the introduction of dietary fat guidelines in 1977 and 1983, a systemic review and a meta-analysis. This is 2015. The journal Open Heart, looking backwards at all that original cholesterol data, saturated fat data, saying there was no good evidence to even put those dietary guidelines in place in 1977. Here's a quote from the study. Quote, two recent publications have questioned the alleged relationship between saturated fat and coronary heart disease and called for dietary guidelines to be reconsidered. The present review concludes that dietary advice not merely needs review, it should have not been introduced. We have most people today walking around worried about their cholesterol, worried about eating egg white omelets, worried about trying to keep with lean, low fat. Here's another study, Annals of Nutrition and Metabolism, 2009. The name of the study, Dietary Fat and Coronary Heart Disease, Summary of Evidence from Prospective Cohort and Randomized Controlled Trials. Intake of total fat was not significantly associated with coronary events or mortality. Intake of saturated fats was not significantly associated with coronary artery events or mortality. Fatal heart disease was not reduced by low-fat diets or by replacing saturated animal fats with polyunsaturated vegetable oils. Annals Nutritional Metabolism, 2009. Here is another one from The Lancet, 2001. Cholesterol and all-cause mortality in elderly people from the Honolulu Heart Program, a cohort study. Quote, our data accord with previous findings of increased mortality in elderly people with low serum cholesterol and show that long-term persistence of low cholesterol concentration actually increases risk of death, as the last caller was just talking about. I'm going to quote this again. Our data accord with previous findings of increased mortality in the elderly who have low serum cholesterol. So I'm constantly reiterating this with patients when they see their cholesterol high and they get sad, and I say, turn that frown upside down. Be happy. The higher the cholesterol, the increased in longevity, the better outcomes on infectious disease, cancer, and dementia. Again, that study, Lancet 2001.
And we'll be right back with more You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right after this. And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Let's go to the phones and take another quick call out there. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Did we lose them? Maybe we did. Okay, you call right back. Sorry about that. We were in our kind of the long break there, but if you have a question along the way, 806-745-5800.
All right, so we are back at it. And the point, I didn't really mean to go off on the whole statin thing, but I'm trying to make a point. The data is super clear, has been for years now, going all the way back really to the original trial that came out, the fraudulent trial, the seven-country study back in the early 60s. We've talked about that before. There's no support for this theory, and that's another good point, theory. Most of medicine is all theory. This theory, diet-heart hypothesis, I mean, it's a theory that cholesterol clogs your arteries. There's no data that supports that. It's very, very clear. I just quoted all the studies, and there's multiple books you could go read to get even more studies. But JAMA kind of did the review for you. I just quoted that review study. They looked at 21 different randomized control trials. And the point I'm trying to make, I'm trying to connect this dot between, at the top of the show we talked about, we get the worst health outcomes. We're in dead last place. Heart disease is the number one killer and has been for a long time and will continue to be as long as we continue to lean on a 0.8% reduction drug called statins as the mainstay of therapy. That is not the cause of heart disease. High cholesterol, it's not. I just quoted all the studies, and then we have the statin data now to prove clearly we're still over 600,000 Americans dying of cardiovascular disease every year. So you've got to become informed. You've got to be your own informed consent, unfortunately, because honestly, the doctors just don't know. Dr. Peter McCullough put out a nice article, well cited. The higher the vaccine coverage rates in a region or country, the higher the excess death is. Dr. Dennis Rancourt's presentation, well documented excess mortality, starting from the vaccine campaign on. There's excess mortality data coming out everywhere. Germany and Japan a couple months ago put theirs out. The 500 excess deaths per week in the UK from cardiovascular since the vaccine rollout. GoodScienceScene.com, you can go look at this yourself. Athletes, on average, over the past 20 years, you'd have maybe 25 athletes collapse and die on the field per year. 25 around the whole world. Here's the latest count since the COVID shots started coming out. 1,884 cardiac arrests, 1,310 deaths in young, healthy athletes in their prime. GoodScienceScene.com is where you can look at that data yourself. There was a young 28-year-old basketball player. Professional basketball player Oscar Cabrera died of a heart attack while undergoing a stress test at a health center after being diagnosed with myocarditis. In an Instagram post, Cabrera blamed the vaccine mandates required for his international travel for his job, basketball. This is a quote from his earlier Instagram. I got a blank myocarditis from putting a blank vaccine. I got two doses of Pfizer and I knew it! Exclamation mark. Many people warned me, but guess what? It was compulsory or I couldn't work. I'm an international professional athlete. I'm living and playing in Spain. I have no health problems. Nothing. Not hereditary. No asthma. Nothing. All caps, exclamation mark. I suddenly collapsed to the ground in the middle of a match and I almost died. I'm still recovering and I've had 11 different cardiology tests done and guess what? They find nothing. I have no cholesterol, no fat, nothing, exclamation mark, 7% body fat, 93% lean muscle. When they give me the diagnosis, they tell me that I won't be able to play for at least 5 months until my heart goes down again, and they can't give me that medicine, end quote. That was from a couple years ago after he collapsed. Last month, when he was on the treadmill, and he took a picture of himself getting on the treadmill, all hooked up to do the stress test. He never walked out of that office. He died on the treadmill. Cardiac arrest, 28 years old, otherwise totally healthy. That's one. There's 1,884 others just like him that had cardiac arrest, and 1,310 of those athletes are now dead. These are real numbers, real people, real lives. No one at the American Association of Family Practitioners, American Academy of Pediatrics, this FDA, the CDC, the State Health Department, the Local Health Department, the County Health Department, nobody that I've heard. I heard one lady up in Canada, a politician, come out and say, we're sorry. Did anyone call Cabrera's family and say, I'm sorry? We didn't see clearly. We were misled or misinformed or uninformed or whatever. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. We are a very forgiving people. I said this 2 years ago. The only way out of this mess is confession and repentance. Confess we got it wrong. Confess we didn't do our due diligence. And ask for forgiveness. You know, some may not forgive you, but it's better than keeping our head in the sand and just continuing down this path. Here's a quote from Dr. Asim Mahorta. I quoted him earlier about this very ineffective shot and very deadly shot. Quote, I was willfully blind. Remember, Mahorta took the shot, was injured also, and he was on Good Morning America, British style, telling everybody to get in. So he's not anti-vaccine. Here's the quote. I was willfully blind, certainly in relation to the vaccine and the harms, until I wasn't. And that's why it's crucial that we tackle this both with compassion and the facts. Because there are many people who are still willfully blind. And I think remaining in echo chambers and pointing fingers isn't getting us anywhere. That's Dr. Asim Mahorta. Continuing on with the second quote from that interview. Honest doctors can no longer practice honest medicine. We have a complete healthcare system failure and an epidemic of misinformed doctors and misinformed and unwittingly harmed patients. That's why I'm telling you, you've got to get informed, because your doctors aren't even informed. I've talked to doctors. They still don't know. They don't know about 884 cardiac arrests in athletes. They don't know about 160 plus dead Canadian doctors. They don't know about 55 collapsed or dead performers on stage. They don't know Dr. Alcim Mahorta and his story. They don't know about Robert Malone, MD, from his Twitter account. And remember, Robert Malone was instrumental in the development of the mRNA technology, has patents under his name. A quote, the academic vaccine elite need to grow up or grow a pair and realize that they are about to be subjected to a level of public scrutiny that they have never encountered. They have lived very sheltered, protected lives, never being challenged, with Big Pharma backing their every utterance, suckling at the breast of forever NIH funding, and both CDC and FDA treating them like little gods. Those days are passing now. The days of fawning adulation from corporate media will also pass at some point. The public is becoming increasingly resistant to the arrogant, condescending, ad hominem, ad nauseum, gaslighting strategy. They got it wrong during the COVID crisis again and again, and are still unable to come to terms with what that means. Will they be held accountable? How long can corporate media continue to come to their rescue? Our best hope may be to get government and pharma funding out of the media, and that is happening partially via alternative social media platforms, end quote. That was Dr. Robert Malone on his Twitter account. My colleagues I talked to never read that quote from Dr. Malone. They don't even know who Dr. Malone is, because they're getting their information from the AAFP and AAP news email, weekly emails, and the AMA weekly monthly emails, and their local medical society's monthly email newsletters. That's where they're getting their information. They don't know when I quote Dr. John Ioannidis, Stanford Nobel Prize winning Stanford professor, quote, and this is from years ago, I think this is 2006, quote, there is increasing concern that in modern research, false findings may be the majority or even the vast majority of published research claims. Dr. John Ioannidis. My colleagues never heard that. They don't know that most of the published research is false. They don't know that Rochelle Walensky, CDC, Francis Collins, NIH, Dr. Fauci, NIAID, knew in January of 21 the vaccines were failing and continued to push the mandates. Freedom of information request. We were able to obtain those emails where they were talking about this. My colleagues didn't read the paper from Pantazoas and Selgemen. They estimated, peer-reviewed, published, they estimate 178,000 deaths in 2021 alone from the COVID shots. Skidmore and colleagues, Michigan State University, estimated 278,000 deaths in 2021 alone from the COVID shots. Josh Sterling, financial analyst, looked at all the excess death data, testified under oath in the United States Senate to his mathematical calculation. He estimated 600,000 excess deaths. We've had Ed Dowd on the show before, his book Cause Unknown, where he goes through all this excess death data, particularly in young people, working age people, 18 to 64 year olds, based off life insurance policies, 40% increase in death benefit payout. That's an unprecedented, never before happened. A 10% increase is considered a once every 200 year event. Very, very, very rare. That's a 10% increase. And his book goes through the 40% increase. My colleagues didn't know about that. There's a lot that the doctors don't know because they're not told. They don't know where to look. Most of this is censored. You have to know where to look. When my colleagues ask me why was I so concerned originally, why was I hesitant, why did I have my guard up on this mRNA technology? Part of the reason, quoting from the corporate perspectives from Moderna, this is 2018. Moderna put this in their corporate perspectives before their stock market launch. They told their investors regarding the lipid nanoparticles, quote, no mRNA drug has been approved in this new potential category of medicines and may never be approved as a result of efforts by others or us. mRNA drug development has substantial clinical development and regulatory risk due to the novel and unprecedented nature of this new category of medicines. That was 2018. They didn't publish any studies since then that would prove that they figured out how to mitigate that risk. So even they said, this is a risky technology. We knew we had early treatments that were working. We knew the original data showed all-cause mortality was greater in the vaccinated group than the unvaccinated group. But this wasn't made widely known. And the reason I'm going over this again now is I was at a recent city council meeting in a city near here, and the public health official was quoting just the company line of safe and effective, literally said those words, safe and effective. That's a marketing term. The vaccine companies themselves historically have said vaccines are, they are, what was the wording in the Supreme Court? Unavoidably unsafe. There's an absolute safety issue with them that's unavoidable. That's why they have liability protection on the childhood vaccine schedule. So just to use this mantra, anyone that you hear say that, you've got to pause big time right there and start asking them questions. Even just using the VAERS data, CDC's own data, today it says 35,549 COVID vaccine reported deaths on VAERS today. There's a peer-reviewed 30% under-reporting factor. Now, that's debatable. It could be up to 100-fold under-reporting factor on VAERS. But even if there's no under-reporting, 35,000 deaths and that thing's still on the market. So, the point I'm trying to drive home, guys, we get the worst health outcomes. We rely on pharmaceutical-based medicine only. For the number one killer, heart disease, we rely on statins that produce a less than 1% overall all-cause mortality benefit. You've got to wake up, do your own due diligence, seek out the truth, and politely in love, you may bring your doctor, Dr. Malcolm Kendrick's book, The Clot Thickens. He puts all that data in there, and then he proposes another theory, because remember, medicine is based off theories. We get taught in school these things like they're fact. So there, we also get taught vaccines save millions of lives. Don't have time to go into that because we got to wrap up here. Just a quick reminder. there was a 99% drop in infant mortality rates prior to all these vaccines coming out. And in fact, Geyer et al., December of 2000, went back and looked at all the trends in vital statistics, trends in the health of Americans during the 20th century. That was the name of the study. It published in the journal Pediatrics. After extensive study of a century's worth of data, quote, the conclusion was, vaccination does not account for the impressive declines in mortality from infectious diseases seen in the first half of the 20th century. McKinley and McKinley, 1977, they looked at all the data too from 1900 on, and they concluded, the study concludes that vaccines and all other medical interventions, including antibiotics and surgeries, were responsible for, at most, around 1% up to 3% of the decline in mortality. And they warn that profiteers among the medical establishment would try to assign credit for the mortality declines to vaccines and other interventions in order to justify government mandates for their medical interventions. Harvard Medical School Dean, former Dean Edward Cass, in an annual meeting to the Infectious Disease Society, of which he was a founding member and president of that organization, quote, the decline in rates of certain disorders related roughly with socioeconomic circumstances. He literally said the real heroes of public health of the 20th century were not the medical profession, but the engineers, sewage treatment plants, refrigeration, water purification. It's all about the terrain, guys. Bolster your terrain. You have the most amazing God-given COVID-killing machine. You have the most amazing cancer detection machine and killing machine already installed and programmed into you. You just have to give it the right software updates, maybe we'll say. The right nutrition, movement, hydration, and peace. You need sunshine. You need real food. You need to get up and oxygenate by deep breathing when you move around. You need cortisol to be normal, not high. Cortisol is your stress hormone. You jack your cortisol up constantly from fear and anxiety and worry. It totally handcuffs the most amazing COVID and cancer-killing machine known to man. It's that simple. God designed you perfectly. He didn't make any mistakes. You didn't evolve from pond scum. You are highly designed. DI, divine intelligence, not this AI junk. AI will never, ever, ever even hold a candle to DI. DI is amazing. Trust the DI, the divine intelligence built into you. Turn off the TV. Be very leery of anyone using the words conspiracy theory, anti-vax, safe and effective, and all the mantra. God gave you a spirit of discernment. Use your discernment. And if the spirit of fear is influencing your thinking, stop right there and deal with that. We have the ability to discern the truth. So get out there and go discern the truth. Be healthy. You're the cure. We'll be back next week with another great show. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. Shows are archived at veritasmedical.com. You can go listen there or on iTunes. You're under You're the Cure. Thank y'all for being here today. We'll see you next week.
And you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Again, check out veritasmedical.com for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health.